Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Tay?
Dog, a lot has gone down since the last time we talked.
Yeah, you could say that.
But we're going to start on a high note and let's start talking about Southern Miss sweeping Mississippi State over the weekend. Man, was a sweep impressive to you?
It was impressive on Sunday, and then it's kind of lost a little luster the last few days because of the controversy around the Mississippi State athletic program right now.
Right. So what do we do well over the weekend?
I mean, for the most part, pitching was pretty on par. The offense was clicking as usual. I mean, I liked a lot of things. There were a few things I didn't like. We still have to find enough pitching depth. We ran into little problems on Sunday when it came to pitching depth, but I mean, I thought Sandlin pitched extremely well on Friday night. I mean, he's the reigning, Conference USA Pitcher of the Week, and I think he was National Pitcher of the Week as well.
Think so.
So yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things to like. The crowds were excellent. It was beautiful weather. It's baseball season, man.
So midweek we lost a close one to South Alabama, who is I want to say they're a top 20 ranked team. I want to say they're around are they 15th?
I want to say they're 20th. I think Southern actually is ranked 15th right now.
Okay. And we lost to them by one. Do you think any major issues came out of that game, or is it just a midweek game? We're trying to find our midweek pitcher.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I thought Walker Powell pitched rather well in his limited start there. He was obviously on a pitch count. It's the first time he's pitched in the last 2 years. But I mean, the guys you saw come in the eighth when we ended up blowing the lead, Jacob Wyrick and Keller Bradford were two guys that we used in the week during the weekend series. So I think you're just seeing Scott Barry and Ostrander trying to find they're trying to find the right mixture of guys in the bullpen to find a way to close out games. Because if you're going to leave Sandlin in the rotation, you're going to have to find somebody that can pitch the ninth inning outside of Matt Wallner.
Right. So heading into this weekend, Southern Miss has UT Martin on the slate. How do you expect that to go?
I expect Southern to sweep them. UT Martin got swept by Troy last weekend. I mean, it's the last minute. This just happened in the last, 5 or 6 hours. It's been thrown together. But I do expect Southern to take care of business. And I expect, well, I'm hoping for beautiful weather again this weekend, but it's supposed to rain.
Right.
Maybe they can get the series in, though.
Is Sandlin pitching on Friday night? Friday?
I actually have not seen the pitching matchups yet, but if I had to guess, yes, he's going to start tomorrow night.
Okay. Now let's go on to something a lot more disappointing for another half of the fans of the state of Mississippi. So, what do you know so far about the Mississippi State firing of Andy? Is it Cannizzaro?
Yeah, Andy Cannizzaro.
So what are you reading on the forums, man?
I mean, it's basically the same thing pretty much anywhere you go, as far as what happened and the decision by the leaders in the athletic program there in Starkville, what they decided to do. I mean, I don't know. As far as him resigning and stepping down himself because of this little affair that was going on. This day and age, I mean, we saw what kind of happened there in Oxford. It happened in Louisville. I mean, it's just something that happens everywhere apparently, and Starkville is no exception.
Yeah, Bobby Paterno got a second chance. You think Cannizzaro gets a second chance somewhere else?
Yeah, I do. But I think he's gonna end up somewhere as an assistant before he gets another shot as a head coach. I mean, there's going to be a lot of schools that are really going to question his moral attitude there because, I mean, his wife is expecting their third child, and I mean, you're having an affair with somebody within the athletic department. So, yeah, I don't know.
Were those grounds for firing? The extra.
Is I mean, grounds? Yes and no. It makes your program. This day in. So yeah, I mean, I can understand, but at the end of the day, this is about baseball. This isn't about what he does in his own time.
So a lot of people already expected this year to be a down year. How will his resignation affect their team's rest of the season?
I'm not sure it's really going to affect them a whole lot because, I mean, Gary Henderson has been promoted to interim head coach, and he has the SEC experience being head coach in Kentucky for 6 or 7 years. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. And when it comes to the coaching search at the end of the year, depending on what Gary Henderson does, if he gets them to a regional and a super regional or even Omaha, then there's your guy right there.
Definitely, definitely. Now, let's talk about Tim Tebow. There's some news. The Mets say that they could see him being in the majors this season. What are your percentages?
You cut out anything you said.
I said Tim Tebow was in the news earlier this week, and as spring training's kicking off, there were talks of him making it to the major league roster. Is that possible this season?
Yes, I think it's possible that he makes a roster at some point this season, but whether he makes it out of spring training, unless he's improved dramatically, I don't think that's happening.
So do you think it's more of a publicity stunt or like to sell tickets, or is he able to actually compete in the bigs?
I mean, I think it is a publicity stunt to a certain extent, but I mean, Tebow's got a little bit of talent on the diamond. He's shown that the last couple of years there in the minor leagues. He hasn't just totally bombed. So, I mean, yeah, it's an absolute possibility that he can make a roster.
All right, man, I got a crazy baseball rule change because they're changing everything up. First of all, do you think there should be a mound visit limit?
I actually agree with that. I mean, the whole concept of it is to speed the game up.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm a baseball fan as it is. I have no problem sitting here 3 hours watching a baseball game, but some people do. Right. So, I mean, I can see the need to make a change and speed it up. But, yeah, the mound visit, making it 6 per game, I can understand that.
What do you think about the pitch clock, the time between pitches? Should there be a play clock, so to speak?
No, I think they were right to do away with that period. I mean, there's going to be the timer between innings, especially for televised games. I think it's like a 2:05 for regional games and 2:25 for nationally televised games and so forth and so on. I like that. It gives people an opportunity, especially people that are there, to not have to wait so long between innings and commercials.
All right, Mike, I got a curveball for you. It sounds crazy on paper, but you got to hear me out. So baseball doing all these rule changes. Could you ever see there being a time where baseball is the only sport where your best players don't determine the outcome of the game when it's like down to the nitty gritty. So could you ever see a point where a manager chooses his last three batters for the ninth inning? So, in the Yankees' case, you can get Judge, Stanton, and Jury all up there in one inning.
No, Tay, no.
Why not, man?
I actually read that article here a couple hours ago. It's probably the most ridiculous. proposed of, well, I mean, it's not even a rule change, it's just an idea, you know. It's stupid. That's what makes baseball unique, is that I mean, at times you're right. Your best players are not going to determine the outcome of the game. But I mean, imagine that. Okay, imagine LeBron fouling out in Game 7 of the NBA Finals against Golden State with like 3 minutes to go, and they're down by four. Okay, I mean, what if Tyronn Lue said, "No, I'm just going to leave him in the game." You're facing Aroldis Chapman. Then guess what? You're fixing to go up over your 7-8-9 batters. I mean, that's all I can tell you. You better buckle down. But no, absolutely not.
Man, offense sells tickets, man. That's what the name of the game is. You want to get butts in the seats. You want them to stay till the ninth inning, especially in a close game.
The thing about it is, though, is that if you're a Dodger fan like me, and it's the top of the ninth inning, and you're playing the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Kenley Jansen's on the mound, you're going to win anyway. It's not really going to matter who's coming to the plate. I don't like it because you're going to end up destroying what makes baseball great is what you're going to do.
So you're one of those guys who wants to keep baseball the same as it's always been.
I mean, you can make your tweaks here and there, but no, don't destroy what makes the game unique. No, don't do that.
Man, since we're talking about rule changes, got one more, and this one is about basketball. So what about the playoff seeding? Do you like the 1-16 seeding? Take the top 8 from each conference, or do you think top 16 in the NBA altogether?
Well, I mean, that's going to vary from year to year as far as people's perception on that. I mean, because one year you're going to have – you know, 10 or 11 teams in the West, and the next year you might have 10 or 11 really good teams in the East. And so, I mean, I think you should do just – you can do 1 through 16, and then that'll be fine.
See, all right, if they do 1 through 16, then they got to do 41 and 41, like home and away. Every team plays each team twice.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be the only way you could do it because I feel like if – the reason LeBron doesn't like the rule change is because he has a cakewalk when it comes to getting to the finals in the East. He doesn't want those problems with those in the West, which is one of the reasons why now I'm starting to think he's going to stay in the East. But it's really, let me say, it makes a lot more sense to take the top 8 from each conference instead of doing away with the conferences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with how they have it right now, the top 8. And, I mean, LeBron can talk all the smack he wants. But, I mean, when the Celtics are in the final, I'm going to be the one laughing.
So you don't think he's going to make it?
I mean, I'm pulling for Boston, if that means anything. I mean, my opinion as to who makes the NBA Finals is about, you know, as good as tomorrow's weather forecast.
Man. Well, Mike, had a good time talking to you, man. I really appreciate you coming through one more time. And we got to make this more of a habit.
Oh yeah, definitely. I actually have a question for you, Tay.
Uh oh.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here, buddy. Okay. So I know you're a Hugh Jackson fan, mm-hmm. and the Cleveland Browns have the number one pick. If you had a choice, obviously you're not gonna have a choice because you're not in the Browns front office. But you know, just for the fun of it here, if you had a choice, and you're choosing a quarterback, who are you gonna take?
Man, do I have a veteran quarterback on the roster?
No, you have DeShone Kizer, who you have right now. I mean, there's no veteran quarterback.
I'm taking Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, I like that pick, dude. I really do.
It's because he's been in the weather, he's been in the elements, being in Wyoming. He has all the tools. He's done pretty good with subpar talent around him. People overlook that, but I really do like the intangibles he brings because he can extend plays. He does throw a lot of interceptions, and interceptions usually translate because if you look at Jameis Winston, he still throws a lot of picks. But I think Josh Allen, if he can rely on a running game of Saquon Barkley, who they're going to pick up at the fourth pick, take a lot of pressure off of him and allow him to learn.
So how many games do you think Hugh Jackson has to win to be there in 2019?
I want to say 6.
You think six is going to get it done?
Yeah, six would get him another year. After that, he hasn't won eight. And after that, he has to be in the playoffs. No doubt about it. I think he gets at least two more years because I feel like drafting a quarterback always gets a coach an extra year. Like with John Fox with the Bears, I feel like he should not have played Mitch Trubisky any this season because they kind of got him fired because they're like, oh, well, we see what Mitchell's about now. We can let you go because you're hindering him. So I always think QBs, rookie QBs, young QBs give coaches an extra chance, except for John Fox because except for Jeff Fisher because he's Mr. 8-8. He's just horrible.
The thing about John Fox is what happened in Chicago wasn't all him. It was that awesome GM they have decided to give Mike Glennon, $60 million or whatever it was.
He's an idiot.
That was the problem. And when you decided to bench Mike Glennon in favor of Trubisky, you basically limited yourself because you already didn't have a receiving core. I think they actually played a game this year where he threw it like six times the whole entire game. it was basically just turn around and hand the ball off to Jordan Howard. So, I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Browns' number one pick.
Yeah, but, man, I really think they should trade the pick away because you don't want to make a mistake in that position, and they always seem to make mistakes. Go with Saquon Barkley at number four and try to stockpile and get a quarterback late. I feel like Josh Allen, if he isn't taken in the top five, he could fall maybe to about eight or nine just because not a lot of teams believe in him, but I seem to believe in him a little bit.
Well, see, that's the thing is that, I'm not a Patriots fan, but, the Patriots have been doing that for years is that they trade down over and over and over, and they stockpile draft picks. And I don't know why more teams don't do that. Instead of reaching for somebody, why don't you just trade down and, get an extra pick or two or whatnot and help build your roster, especially depth-wise.
Right. But I feel like the Browns have enough money to pick up some good weapons for the offensive side of the ball because I feel like that's their biggest problem, going to be the offensive side of the ball and building an O-line. Joe Thomas isn't going to play forever, so they got to work on replacing him. Now I know Kagan, you've read the messages in the text. He said their O-line isn't that bad, but they are not the Eagles or how the Giants used to be, or how the Cowboys are now. But I feel like if they can draft Josh Allen and heavily run the ball and give Hugh Jackson some time to mold the QB, because Hugh Jackson is a QB guru. He makes a lot happen with nothing. DeShone Kizer looked pretty good throughout the year, but he still made idiotic throws, erratic decisions. So those are just growing pains of a rookie. Now, they can't keep restarting with rookies. So that's why I really want them to pick up a vet just to groom Allen a little bit.
Well, you have to start somewhere, especially if you're going to draft a quarterback like Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield or, Josh Rosen or whoever it's going to be, Sam Darnold, whoever. If you're going to start him, then start him and stick with him. Don't start him and then bench him four games later or whatnot. I agree with the whole veteran quarterback approach. But, here's the question. What veteran do you take? What veteran quarterback fits Hugh Jackson's system the best?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. Because I want to say that they should – go after Case Keenum. He's undersized though, and that's probably like one of the biggest knocks on him. But he gets the job done, and he can work with decent weapons. I would have to say Josh Gordon is better than any receiver. Stephon Diggs or Josh Gordon? Who you taking?
If I'm Marcus Williams, I'm gonna pick Stephon Diggs.
See, I like. I like Josh Gordon a lot more. He just has to stay on the field. I feel like he's one of the better talents at receiver in the league, even though he's been out for like 3 years. He has the speed, he has the hands, he gets separation. He's really what, because Stephon Diggs isn't a great speed receiver. He's a great route runner, which is how he gets open a lot of times. I think he ran like a 4.6 coming out of Maryland. Not blazing fast, but he still gets the job done. I just like Josh Gordon a little bit more.
Well, you think about it though, it's not necessarily Diggs, but you get Adam Thielen there too. Then you also have Kyle Rudolph, and then you got McKinnon out of the backfield. I mean, they made it work in Minnesota because of the talent surrounding Case Keenum. And I mean, I don't know what Minnesota's going to do if they're going to go with Bradford Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater. I have no earthly idea.
Bridgewater, man.
But I mean, you got Dalvin Cook coming back. He's going to be healthy, hopefully. So he's another weapon to that offense. And then the defense is always going to be good. I'm still wondering how they gave up 37 points to the Eagles.
Foles, man. All he knows is how to throw TDs, man.
Yeah, Nick Foles, who is, I mean, there you go. He could be in Cleveland next year.
No, man, that would be probably the second biggest mistake they ever made. Tim Couch was the first.
I thought you were going to say Brock Osweiler or something.
No, he wasn't as bad as Tim Couch, man. They chose him over Manning.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Tim Couch. I mean, who's Peyton Manning? Who is that guy?
Man, I really want the Browns to be competitive. For some reason, I want them to be competitive. But I really want Hugh Jackson to get his act together. But I do feel like the front office is definitely behind him and are going to want to work to create some kind of continuity.
I mean, the thing about it is that the Browns are in one of the premier toughest divisions in the NFL, like year in and year out. You have the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals, who've all been perennial playoff contenders in Mike Tomlin, Marvin Lewis, and John Harbaugh's tenure. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really tough.
Well, you got Jekyll and Hyde and Joe Flacco. You have an aging Big Ben, and you have a aging who else is in their division?
Oh, Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Oh, well, he is Jekyll and Hyde as well. So there's really an opp to me, it's almost wide open. All they got to do is field a competitive team.
Well, I mean, well, the thing about it is, though, is that, I mean, obviously Brady is going to retire one day, or he's just going to die on the field. I don't know. But I mean, you got Brady and Big Ben that you have to go through pretty much to in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, what other quarterback would you consider to be a top notch in the AFC?
Man, let me see. Flacco's not top notch. Dalton isn't top notch.
I mean, Flacco has a ring if you want to consider that top notch.
That is not top notch. James Jones has a ring. He has like six of them with LeBron. So that doesn't count. Elite quarterbacks. I want to say Andrew Luck, if he can get on the field.
I mean, if he comes back healthy, yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, though, you can't really consider Andrew Luck elite if he's done with football right now, because he wouldn't even be considered for a Hall of Fame based on his 4 years in the NFL. What I
So,
mean,
what would that be? Ryan Tannehill's next? He was also taken in the Andrew Luck draft.
what about Phillip Rivers? I mean, Rivers has the numbers. He doesn't have the wins and the Super Bowl rings.
Okay, I can definitely see that. So, how deep in the playoffs can they get this year? Because he has all the pieces. Keenan Allen really emerged as the top receiver in the AFC this year. Melvin Gordon is also one of the top running backs. So he has the weapons. Hunter Henry is going to be our emerging tight end in the future once they stop babysitting Antonio Gates. Defensively, what are your struggles on defense?
As the Chargers, I mean, they were actually pretty decent on defense last year. The problem was is they had to overcome that horrid start. They started like 1-4 or 1-5, I believe. And, I mean, they barely missed the playoffs. I mean, I think they can thank Andy Dalton for missing the playoffs, even though the Buffalo Bills love the guy. But, I mean, they're in a tough division too, especially with the resurgence of Kansas City under Andy Reid. And then you have Oakland, who just got John Gruden back. And then you have Denver, who still has one of the top defenses in the NFL. So, I mean, how many wins do you need to make the playoffs?
Man, I really think Kansas City takes a step back this year. I think if the Broncos can get Cousins, they say they're a quarterback away, but I'm not too high on Kirk Cousins. He's a sub 500 win loss record as a starting QB. So, and there was something that the Redskins saw in him that they did not want to commit to it for the long term. So Denver being a quarterback away is a stretch if they think that quarterback is going to be Kirk Cousins. So the Chargers definitely do have a chance to come out of the West this year. If they can just get off to a better start.
I mean, what do you think Gruden's going to do there in Oakland or Las Vegas or whatever they want to call themselves?
I don't think they are as good as they were 2 years ago, I believe, when right before David Carr broke his ankle, I believe. I think he broke. Now, I thought that was the year that they could actually do some damage in the playoffs. They were catching people off guard. But since then, they've taken a step back. And I don't think my 2 cents about John Gruden is he's a average head coach. Not a lot of people agree with me. They're like, he won a Super Bowl. Look what he did with Rich Gannon. And I was like, yeah, but look at the quarterbacks he had in Tampa Bay. And it was like, well, this is the most talented quarterback he's ever had. I'm going to take the wait-and-see approach. I don't expect a lot out of Oakland this year. I don't even expect him to move to Vegas with them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't expect him to move to Vegas with them. Cause, I mean,
he just signed a 10-year deal, didn't he?
Yeah, it was 10 years, but he seems really committed to Oakland and not the Raiders. We'll see when that time comes.
I mean, yeah, I guess we'll have to. But, I mean, I think Gruden's going to do fine there with the Raiders. I mean, Gruden's a really good coach. I love John Gruden. And most people are right. David Carr will be the most talented quarterback he's ever had. I mean, we'll see how it works out, but I expect him to win at least 9 or 10 games this year.
Is that enough to win in the West?
I guess that really depends on how many games the other teams win. I don't think Denver is going to win, but about 6 or 7. I see Kansas City winning 8 and the Chargers winning 9 or 10. It's going to go down between the Raiders and the Chargers. I mean, I think Phillip Rivers is going to do his absolute best to get one more shot at the Super Bowl.
How many more years do you think he has left?
Him and Eli and Big Ben all came in the same year.
Right. I think Eli needs to retire sooner.
I don't know what Eli's problem is. I mean, 1 year he looks like he's Tom Brady's half brother, not, you know, Peyton's half brother. But I don't know. I do like Eli. He is so inconsistent. I have no idea why.
He's consistently inconsistent. Is probably the best way to put it. I think Big Ben really wants to walk. Well, I think he just wanted to get Todd Haley fired. I don't think he was serious about retiring.
I mean, well, what's he got against Todd Haley?
He hates him, man.
I don't know why. They average like 40 points a game.
Yeah, but they butted heads because Haley didn't take crap off of him.
Oh man, don't start this NBA drama over here.
That's what it was. It was this whole lot of drama. Unless he wants to get Tomlin fired.
I don't know. I like Mike Tomlin. I really do.
Then what was Big Ben's issue all year?
I don't know. Maybe he don't like Antonio Brown. I don't know.
He's crazy if he doesn't like Antonio Brown.
I mean, I love Antonio Brown. I had him on fantasy team last year, and
My gosh.
he was lighting it up for me. But I don't know. That's the AFC though. What about the NFC?
Oh, as always, go Pack, go. I feel like if the Packers can at least piece together an O-line, pick up a pass rusher in the draft, hopefully an outside linebacker, that can rush off the edge, and a tight end. We really need a tight end.
So
So, so, so,
how good is Garoppolo going to be there in San Francisco?
Oh
They
my
paid him a lot of
gosh.
money.
He's overpaid right now. But I'm pretty sure after Cousins gets his contract, Matt Ryan gets his extension, and Aaron Rodgers gets his contract, it's going to look like chump change. But as of right now, they're paying him for the potential that he has. There's still a lot of pieces away. So it's definitely going to be like a 3-year plan, I think. In about 3 years, you can see. Well, I'm gonna say 2 seasons. The third, they're gonna be really competitive.
So, do you think Seattle wins the West, or are you going to go with the Rams again?
I think Seattle wins the West. I really think what McVay was able to do was catch everyone by surprise. Jared Goff is the real deal, but I don't think Todd Gurley is gonna have the type of season that he had last year. Because he was really the wild card in that offense. They went as he went. Now I think Sammy Watkins, if he can stay healthy, he can have another decent year. Robert Woods, I don't think he's as good as advertised or as his numbers say. Cooper Kupp is darn good. I really like Cooper Kupp. But I do feel like teams are going to catch up to McVay's offense this year. This upcoming season.
Do the Eagles repeat in the East?
No.
Cowboys?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys get it together. And win the East just because they're gonna have Zeke back for all the games. If Sean Lee can stay healthy on defense, they really need to improve their back end and the perimeter weapons that they have for Dak. To be honest, they really need to cut Dez Bryant. He's overpaid. He's not going to take a pay cut. Best thing to do is get from under that contract and cut him. Give Bryce Butler an extension because he's about the same size as Dez, and he can take the top off the coverage.
Man, I love the Cowboys. I hope they continue to suck it up. Well, what about the NFC South? Do the Saints repeat, or is it going to be the Falcons or the Panthers or even the Buccaneers?
Man, it is a toss-up. I know the Bucs are not going to be in it, just because I don't think Jameis Winston is the quarterback for the Bucs. He's still really immature, which is mind-blowing. Because I think he's in his third or fourth year, going to his fourth year. Yeah, and he's still making the same mistakes. Like he was right before the end of the season, he was arguing with the ref over a call, whether he fumbled or not, I believe. Those are the things you can't do as the face of your offense or the face of your team. Now the Panthers, Falcons, and Saints, I really like what the Saints were able to do with Kamara Ingram. But they need to shore up their defense. They're at the linebacker position. They need to get deeper at the linebacker position. But I believe that I can't remember the guy that was out all year. AJ Klein, maybe.
Yeah, he got hurt in the fourth or fifth game of the year, I believe.
So I think if he comes back healthy, they would be pretty solid. So they're going to be my favorite to win the South. Now, what Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and that offense put together last year was a piece of horse crap, and I don't think it's gonna be that bad, but I don't see them, because that is about an average year for Matt Ryan. His MVP year was an aberration. As you saw, he regressed to the mean, because he's a lot similar to Andy Dalton, just in a Falcons jersey, when it comes to numbers. And Julio just did not get enough targets. They got to find a way to put Julio, involve him in the offense. He's one of the top receivers in the NFC. There's no way he shouldn't be getting 10 targets a game. So if they can figure that out, I can see them getting to 500. But I definitely do see the Saints controlling NFC South for most of the year.
So, are the Packers going to win the North?
Man, be honest with you, I don't think they are. I think they get in as a wild card. Now, what the Vikings did was really off the back of their defense. And Dalvin Cook's going to be back, and a better quarterback is going to be under center next year, whoever it may be. I don't think Case Keenum hangs on to the starting position. I think they give it to Teddy Bridgewater. And if he can just be a game manager next year, hand the ball off, and ride on the coattail of that defense, it's going to be pretty close. But I don't see the Packers being good enough to stop them defensively, because we have all kinds of holes on defense. And as a Packers fan, it's really hard to say that. I wish we would go out and get some free agents or something like that, to make our guys better immediately. But we're all about building for the future. And another thing, I really think our days with Aaron Rodgers is numbered. It's harder than it is for me to say, because they fired QB coach Alex Lynn over the offseason. He really didn't like that. He says it's something they should have come to him about, which I do agree, because that is his position coach. And when you have the kind of clout that Aaron Rodgers has, you should be involved in all those kind of decisions.
Oh, I agree. This is totally off topic. Well, it's still about football, but here's the question. If Matthew Stafford, Phillip Rivers, and say Matt Ryan even, if none of those three guys ever win a Super Bowl ring, are they in the Hall of Fame?
Man, I can't put it. If any of them were to get into the Hall of Fame, it'd be Matt Ryan, because he was the best at his position for a season. But Stafford and Rivers have never won an MVP. And then you got to think, well, look who they're going up against. They're going against some. This is probably the best that the quarterback position has ever been. It just happens to get dominated by the same big names: Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers. So if anybody was to get in, it'd be Matt Ryan. And I still don't think he gets in.
Do you think Carson Palmer gets in eventually?
I feel like yeah. You think? I don't know why. I don't know why I feel like that. I feel like he did enough in Cincy. He did enough in Arizona to warrant at least a spot on the ballot. But he's not going to be put in he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Interesting. All right, Tay. That's all I got, man.
All right, man. We're gonna expand this Hall of Fame talk in a couple of days. So be ready, because I'm going to have some more heat for you.
I'm ready, buddy.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right.
Peace.